Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We doing all right? Everybody's doing it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're a visitor, we welcome you. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow, wow. I don't know, Cheryl, I think she's got a testimony or two here. Since I have one testimony. Okay, you're going to read a testimony here. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. To the ministry and those included of the Living Savior Ministries, thank you. I am so grateful for you. I've been listening to messages from your ministry for not quite a year, and I can tell that I'm quite different in my thoughts and understandings. It's a significant change, and I'm very grateful. I recognize the difference in me when I think of situations many months ago and how I would handle them so differently now. I recognize the difference when I think of interactions I've had previously and wonder how I could have thought that way at that time or spoken then as I did. It's very profound, this change, and I thank you. Your modeling and teaching fills in what God teaches me as I read His Word. You show me how to apply complex principles and how to be consistent with what I believe throughout my words and actions. All the pastors of the ministries and others associated, as best I can tell, model and demonstrate this consistency, and it is so wonderful for me to see the truths of the Bible lived out. My understanding of things that God has been teaching me for years is now significantly enhanced by hearing and applying the teachings of your ministry. If I tried to imagine the pressures that push back on what you say and live out, I could not come close to understanding. Yet, I know it's there, and so each month as God gives me something to send to you, I want to affirm and thank you because I thank God for you often, and so you should know so too. Gratefully, Aaliyah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I didn't tell you the blessing I had this morning. When my alarm went off and I got up and I reached over and got my phone and I checked the messages because I get all the ministry emails. There was an email in there that said, Cheryl, please, I need you to pray for my dad. He's not saved. And she listed all the things that were wrong with him and he's over in India. And so I got to pray for Elizabeth Solomon's dad and send the prayer back to her so her mother could, over in India, who is a Christian, could agree. And that so her dad Vikram is saved today. In Jesus' name.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one thing on this earth that's important.
Amen.
And that's coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't get anything else, you know, you're only going to be here for a few short years. In fact, I was amazed a while ago when Tony came in. He introduced me to his mother, and she says she's 92.
Yes.
Wow. Welcome, welcome, mother and grandmother. We're good to have you today. So, but wow, even at 92, you know, she's just a few years behind me, ahead of me, or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, it's amazing how quick those years go by, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, they go by so quick, and I stopped to think when I read the letters that Paul wrote about people that have no hope. Well, there's a bunch of them out there that have no hope. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have no hope. Now then, this, I don't know if you know it or not, but right now, we are in the midst of the fall feast.
Yeah.
You know, the fall feast, you know, that we just came through Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, and Feast of Trumpets. And, of course, since the Feast of Trumpets is a 48-hour day, and no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return, I believe in my heart that the Feast of Trumpets will be the day that the Lord comes to catch away the church. So I now know why he doesn't let us know when this is going to be, because even myself, since I think it's going to be on a Rosh Hashanah, now I don't know which Rosh Hashanah, but a week or two or three before Rosh Hashanah, I always get a little lazy, thinking, you know, I could do this or I could do that, but why? What if I'm not here in two or three weeks? What if the Lord comes this week? I won't need. I was telling somebody the other day, I said I had a blue and white V8 Oldsmobile years ago. I learned this about 20 or 30 years ago. But I had this Oldsmobile that needed a valve job. Well, it's a pretty good chore to pull those big old heads off of a V8 Oldsmobile and grind the valves and put it all back together. So that valve was burnt pretty bad. So about a week or two before Rosh Hashanah, I pulled it over to my shop and parked it. I said, okay, I patted it as I left, and I said, in 2.5 weeks, if you're still here and I'm still here, we'll do a valve job on you. But if you're still here and I'm gone, then I ain't going to need the valve job on this thing. So I waited 2.5 weeks. We went through Rosh Hashanah. See, Rosh Hashanah, it started last Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And it went till Friday at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the fine-tuning of that is according to the moon in Israel. But just think, if Rosh Hashanah had been the catching away of the church, the rapture, this last week, I would hope that this church would be empty today. Amen. And I would hope there would not be a single person you come up and say, wow, I wonder where Thurman's at. The door's unlocked and everything's here and... Jesus, nobody here. In fact, the other morning when Cheryl woke up, she woke up and after Rosh Hashanah, that 48-hour day, of course, she told me, she said, honey, you make sure that if this is the catching away of the church or rapture of the church, you make sure that Lily goes with us. I said, you won't have to worry about Lily. God will take care of Lily. So Cheryl, in her fleshly way, reached over and put her arms over her little tiny puppy and pulled her up under her arm, and she slept right there all night. The next morning when she woke up, she looked over and I was still laying in the bed. She said, well, the rapture didn't happen because he's still here. You know, it's funny, it is funny to laugh about these things because we have hope. You know, I mean, we have the hope of Jesus Christ. We all know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We know that He's the one that paid the total price for our salvation. It wasn't anything we did. It's what He did, and He made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. So this is hard for us to grasp, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, 19, 20, let's put 2 Corinthians 5 up there, and I want you to read this, and I want you to see what this says. And so many people, they read it, but they don't realize that it means what it says. I want Cheryl to read that 2 Corinthians 5, starting verse 17 through 20, if you would.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Okay, let's stop right there and think about it. Read that first line again, very beginning.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Okay, now right there, I want us to stop and meditate on that just a moment. How many of you in this room, absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Okay, I hope that's everybody. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you need to make sure that you do know Him, because if you could not have held your hand up, then if the rapture had have occurred this week, you wouldn't be here. You'd still be here. You know, now if you're not a Christian, do you want to be left?
No.
I don't want to be left because I read the book of what the devastation that's coming with the tribulation period, and I'm telling you, if you think for a second that the storms we've had, the winds we've had, and yeah, that's another thing that made me think maybe this year would be it, because in my 77 years of living on this earth, I am 78. Okay. Okay, my 78 years. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. 78, 77, 110, it doesn't make no difference. It's all the same.
Yeah.
But if the Lord said just before his return, we would see an increase in all of these things. Did he not?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he said it's going to happen. So if Jesus said it's going to happen, I this year, since I'm thinking the fall feasts are coming, wow, look at the storms we've had down the Caribbean. Look at the storms we've had in Texas. You know, look at the storms and the fires we've had in California and Montana. And I mean, over. And it doesn't matter where you look. There's devastation everywhere. In fact, Cheryl's son-in-law, him and Christy, his wife, Cheryl's daughter, they were called, he's an insurance adjuster, and they called him to Florida. So he took a team of men with him to Florida. And when they got down there and looked around for about a week or so, he rented a house for a year.
Wow.
He said, we're going to be here a long time. Now, never has there ever been anything that's come across the Caribbean 185 miles an hour for days. That's never happened. But the Lord said these devastating things will happen and happen with an increasing of frequency just before I return. Well, I think that we've seen things that's beyond our wildest dreams. And so many people are living in such fear. I mean, Christian people, they don't know who they are in Christ. They just don't know what you can do and who you are. I mean, as a son of God, Jesus Christ, he can come in here and tear up everything around this place. I mean, I can remember one day that I felt a suction on my doors, on my shop out here. I was working on something, and I felt those doors surge. And when they did, I thought, what is that? And I got up, and I was on the floor working on a truck, and I got up right quick and ran to the door and looked out, and there is a tornado. I mean, a tornado right out there, and the doors were flopping and everything. And it was, I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I command this tornado to go away. That tornado turned and went right down the road right down there and went down right behind my neighbor's house down here. And he has a guest house, or actually it wasn't a guest house that time. It was a garage. He had a four-car garage behind his house, and it hit that garage and just scattered that garage all over the country. That thing was headed straight for me. But I was a Christian, and I knew the authority that had been given to me by the Master. So when I commanded that thing to go away, it went away.
Amen.
Now, I mean, some of you in this room knows your authority and your power, and this new creature, Cheryl just got through reading to us, to those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have become a new creature. Now, that new creature, like a lady wrote to us the other night, she said, you know, I'm listening to your teaching, but it's impossible to walk where you say you walk. It cannot be done. I told her, ma'am, it's not impossible to walk without sin. It's very possible to walk without sin. I said, if Jesus commanded me and you to walk without sin, if it had been impossible, do you think the Master would have commanded us to do something that is impossible to do? Of course not. He didn't say it's going to be easy, did he? But you know, so when somebody gets really upset with you and says something nasty to you, instead of reaching over and say, grab them by the nape of the neck and punch them in the nose, reach over and put your hand on them and say, I love you. Now you can do that.
Yes.
It may not be easy, but you can do it. Now then, if you do, you'll really greatly appreciate the benefits of what it brings, because it will cause you to be able to get your prayers answered every time you have prayers that need to be answered. But you know, people, when you become this new creature, and then read on a little more there, honey, let's see what else it said there.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Wow. Okay, if all your old stuff is passed away and all your new stuff is here, then you need to start acting like the new man. You know, if you don't read the book, you will never do this, because you'll never realize who you are until it soaks into your heart, your spirit being, until it soaks in that you are a new creature in Christ. The old man is dead. He's died. I killed him. Jesus killed me on the cross. When I realize I am a new creature, and is that what the scripture said? I am a new creature. The old man is dead. So the new man, when you realize the new man has died and all the sins that you've had, they all have passed away, and you're a clean, righteous, holy instrument before God. You know, when you ask people, well, do you believe? When I talk to you, who am I talking to? I'm talking to Mary, but I'm talking to Mary who, and who else? Jesus. He lives in you, doesn't he, young lady? So if Jesus lives in there, when I go up, if I lay my hands on her and touch her, I just touch Jesus because she's a daughter of the King.
Right.
The old Mary died way back yonder when she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Now, the new Mary can do all kinds of wonderful, awesome things. You can do it. The old man, are we dead to sin according to that then? Yes, we have died to sin. So if you've died to sin, can you go through the day without sinning? Yes, as long as you remain dead. Now, you don't want to get any resurrections. You don't want to resurrect from the dead. You know, that old man, is he still in there? Oh, yeah, he's still in there. You got to be careful. You can sure raise him from the dead. There's a sweet little lady that goes to this church that I know. And she told me one time when she come to a Bible study class I was teaching. And whenever she learned that she was a new creature. And that she said, you know, I'm going to tell you, Thurman. And she's the sweetest little thing you ever seen. You never believe this about this girl. But she said, you know, before I went to your Bible study class and learned I was a new creature in Christ, she said, when somebody did me wrong, I could tell them how the cow eat the cabbage. She said, boy, I could get on your case. I could tell you what to do and where to go. But she said, after I realized that old girl died, she said, I quit doing that. So she don't do that no more. She said, when I realized as long as I leave that old woman dead, then that new woman don't ever do that to people. I'm sweet and nice and gentle. In other words, outwardly, she's like she looks. I mean, whenever you see somebody that's sweet, young, and is lovingly and kind, that's the way we're supposed to be. But you know, with the things that is going on, Jesus could very easily have come the last 2 days. He could have easily came, but he didn't. Okay, so now then that he didn't, and since I firmly believe he's only going to come on Rosh Hashanah, you can quit goofing off. You can go back to work. We got things to do now. Is that right, Gracie? Yeah, we kind of slacked off a little bit here, but we don't have to worry about slacking off no more. And when I say slacking off, I want to say something that this week I've really meditated on this, and it really is working on me. When the old man died, the new man came to life. The new man is supposed to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. He's supposed to become just like Jesus. Did Jesus produce any fruit when he was here? I mean, Jesus healed the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead. I mean, he saved the lost. He done everything, didn't he? I mean, he was constantly working. So whenever it come time for him to be caught away to go to heaven, I wonder how thick his book of works was. You reckon it might have been pretty thick?
Oh, yeah. Many books.
Okay. How about us? I got to thinking about that, Lord. I don't do enough for you. I really don't do enough for the kingdom. I slack off too much sometimes. I need to be talking to more people about Jesus. Cheryl and I went out to a restaurant. Of course, Cheryl sees me do this all the time. But we went out to a restaurant to eat yesterday. And the young lady that came, and she was just, you know, full of life. She's giving us our tea and everything. And I said, young lady, do you know what it takes to be really blessed? caught her by surprise. She said, I don't know. I said, are you blessed? She said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let me tell you what it really takes to be really blessed. And she said, what's that? I said, to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Boy, she backed up and I said, do you know him? She says, no, no. She was very uneasy. So I backed off and just walked in love. And then Cheryl and I prayed for her that she would get saved, that we rebuked the enemy, commanded him to get his hands off of her. And we asked the Lord to call her into the kingdom and gloriously save her and fill her with the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe with all my heart that in my book of works, and all of us have got one of these books, I believe that that prayer that we prayed is going to get that girl saved. I believe it's done. I think Jesus clicked that off of my record for that girl. I'm saved this girl because you took your wife to that restaurant to eat. You thought you went down there to eat, but I sent you down there to save one of my daughters. And you didn't mess up. You didn't go down there and just eat and feed your face. You know, you did what I told you to do. In other words, you got this person saved. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? Producing fruit for the kingdom. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? How many times in my life have I not produced fruit for the kingdom? You know, I think about the men that I know that have learned who they are in Christ. I mean, when I try to tell a man, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the old man is dead. The new man is alive to Christ. And you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? Okay. That sure will read on. Read the next line then.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Read that one more time.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Just think. He has given you and me the plan of reconciliation. That you can go and talk to somebody and tell somebody about Jesus, and God will convict them of sin and pull them into the kingdom of God, gloriously save them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. And it's a plan that he put in order. All you got to do is just tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Just think. I think about a young lady the other day that she had no idea that if you were living in unforgiveness and bitterness, you couldn't go to heaven. She had no idea. She had never heard that. I showed it to her in the Word, where if you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred toward people, if you do that, you can't go to heaven. This girl thought she was okay, and whenever she heard me teach on this, she went to the Scripture and checked me out and come to find out that I was right. And so whenever she found out that she couldn't go to heaven, she said, I thought I was on the way to heaven. She said, I could just see myself now as I'm walking along there and I'm getting ready to go to heaven. And I got my baton, and boy, she was dancing, you know, with her baton and all this stuff. And she said, I happened to turn and look to see what was behind me, and said, everybody had an unforgiveness against was falling behind me. Every one of them. There would be a witness against me that, you know, that I'm in hatred and unforgiveness. So when I stand before God one day, all these people say, she hates me. He hates me. So you can't go to heaven. Now then, would that be a kicker? Just like the other day, I was talking to a man, and his son was sick. And I told him, I said, you know, do you have any idea why your son is sick? I said, are you and your wife getting along okay? He said, well, yes. I said, well, are you serving the Lord? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? I said, are you a Christian? And he said, well, yeah, I am. I said, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? He said, well, probably not. Well, now, if a man is already convicted in his own heart that he's not doing what God calls him to do, he knows he's in sin. You know that?
Yeah, sure.
He knows he's in sin. I told him, I said, do you have any idea that your son is sick because of your sin to God? He said, I never heard anything like this. I said, let me tell you two little stories. I said, one of them happened about 15 years ago. I said, there was a young woman and her husband that they had a baby boy. And the doctor told them after the child was in the hospital there for a few days that the child was not going to recover. It was going to die. Whatever it was, the little child was not going to live. So this woman had heard of me and the story about my granddaughter, how I'd raised her from the dead in the name of Jesus. I mean, Caitlin was technically killed in a car wreck. Her brainstem was severed, and God put that all back together. So she heard that. So she asked her husband, says, can I call this man and ask him to come down to Cook's Medical Center and pray over our son, which the doctor says is not going to live? And he said, sure, anything, no problem. He said, do you know this man? She says, no, I only know him, you know, by some CDs I listen to. I said, I want to call him. So she called me, and that's been about 15 years ago. So I went down there. When I walked in, I said, okay, this is the child. And she said, yes, this is a child that the doctor says is not going to make it. Most people don't realize that the husband is the most powerful thing in the home that there is. God put a husband in charge of the home and of the family, and if that husband's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, all kinds of devastating things can happen to you and your family. So anyway, I walked over to the man. I said, you're the daddy of this baby? And he said, yes, sir. I said, this is your first child? And he said, yes, this is our only child so far. And I said, sir, are you a Christian? He said, I'm a Catholic. I said, I didn't ask you that. I want to know, do you go to church? Well, very rarely. I said, well, do you tithe? He says, no. I said, so do you spend much time reading the Word? He said, not very much. I said, okay, sir, I want to tell you something. Here you are, a man with a new baby, that you, this is going to be the desire for your heart to have this baby. And I said, this child, instead of living when it was born, it's dying, and the doctors say it ain't going to make it. And I said, you're a son of God. You're a believer in Jesus Christ, but you're not doing anything for the King. I said, so by not doing anything for Jesus, I said, I've seen before when men sin. There's a perfect example in the book of Samuel, where 2 Samuel, where King David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and then didn't do what God told him to do. And God literally killed that man's baby. Yep. I don't know if any of you have ever read that story, but some of you have. Yep. And it says, and the Lord struck the child with sickness, and 1 week the child died. Yep. That's exactly what the scripture says. So I said, sir, I believe with all my heart, because you as a son of God have not done what God told you to do, I think he's taking away your son. He said, sir, God would never kill my child. I said, oh, yes, he will. I said, he will give life and he takes life. And I've seen him do it. And that scripture there in 2 Samuel 12 is very clear that God was going to take David's son's life. And he did. The child died. So I said, do you want this child to die or to live? He said, well, sir, that's why we called you. We want the child to live. I said, okay. If you'll get right now, say, Lord, I repent for not doing what you told me to do. I repent. I will start going to church, whether it be a Catholic church or whatever it is, but some kind of a church. Go to a church that believes in Jesus. And I said, and start tithing. Give the Lord the first tenth of all your increase. And I said, then start loving the Lord and talking to him and loving him and praising him. And I said, if you will do that, if you will start putting God first, if you start reading his word every day, I said, I want you to read anywhere. I don't care where you get in it, just get in it. I said, the Holy Spirit will direct you where to read. He'll show you. So I said, just get in there and read. Just do something to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I said, will you promise me you'll do that? He said, yes, I will. I said, okay, the scripture says in Mark 16:18 that we can lay hands on the sick. And what did he say that'll happen, Mary? If you lay hands on the sick, what happens to them? They'll get well. That's exactly right. That's written in God's word. So if Mark 16:18 says, and these signs shall follow those that believe, if I'm a believing believer and I lay hands on that little baby, God says that child will recover, didn't he? So anyway, I told him, I said, now I believe since you've repented of all your sin, I'm going to lay hands on your baby and I'm going to expect the King of the universe to forgive you and to heal your child. And so I laid hands on the child and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And I turned and walked off. The lady thanked me for coming. Never heard of him again. 9 years later. Oh, yeah, Cheryl said we were at the fish fry in Justin.
6 years ago.
Yeah, 6 years ago, we were at the fish fry in Justin. We're having, how many of you, anybody ever been to the fish fry in Justin? Okay, if you never have, you missed something. It's really good fish. I really enjoy it. So, anyway, the fire department puts it on, and so, you know, we like to go to that to help finance the fire department and their help. But anyway, we was in the hall in there, sitting there. We'd got our fish and our stuff, and we're sitting there eating. And all of a sudden, a little lady with a little boy with a Boy Scout uniform, because the Boy Scouts, they're the ones that help pick up the trays and the plates, and they help during the fish fry. So this little boy was a Boy Scout, and he was 9 years old. And I didn't know that, but the mother walks up to the table, and she looks across and said, Mr. Scrivener? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want you to know that me and my husband will love you forever. I said, ma'am, what did I do for you that caused you to love me? She said, you see this 9-year-old boy standing here beside me? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, this is the boy that was the baby that we asked you to come pray for 9 years ago that the doctor said wasn't going to live through the night. Said he's been perfectly healthy ever since.
Hallelujah.
We wonder why so many people die. And we don't realize that they got sins that they've never repented of. I mean, you know, there's another scripture I could have used that day, but the Lord didn't move on my heart. But as a son or a daughter of God, John 15:2 is a pretty scary verse. But John 15:2, let's look at this for a second. So they're going to put that on the board, and Cheryl's going to read John 15:2. What does that say, hon?
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Now then, let's look at it like this in this light. Let's say that had been your son, and that was your first son, and you were a born-again Christian, and maybe you were 30, 35 years old, who knows, 30 years old, 25 years old. Usually it'd go a little longer than that. Say 30, 35 years of age, and you've not produced any fruit. You've been busy building yourself a house, busy making money to pay the money for your car payment, but you're not doing anything for God. You're not reading His Word. You're not studying His Word. You're not doing anything. You're not telling anybody about Jesus, but you're a Christian. Does that scripture right there say if you are a Christian, are you required to do something?
Yes.
Yep.
And did you know, that's really been bothering me this week, that I will get to the place at the end of my life someday, which we're all going to come to that day. I mean, Scripture says it is appointed unto every man and woman once to die, and then the judgment. So then one day you're going to die, and you're going to stand before this God, this angel that's there, and the Lord's going to say, angel, open Thurman's book of works, and let's see what he done with my son. Man, I hope that book is so heavy they have to have a forklift to pick it up. You understand where I'm coming from? God expects you and me to do something. He doesn't expect us just to come to church and do nothing, and to sit here and listen to Thurman talk about him, and then go home and do nothing. He expects you to do something. Do y'all get that when he says to produce fruit, to produce works? Did you realize that every one of you are going to be just like me on that scary day? One day when you take your last breath and you're going to stand before the King, and he's going to say, bring the book of works. And let's see what Thurman did. Or let's put your name in there. Let's see what you did. Now then, do you want your book to be thick? I want mine to be thick. I will say that day that that little lady down there at the fire hall, when she told me what she did, I had no idea what God did. I just knew the scripture, and I knew what it said for that that man's supposed to produce fruit. And I told that story up in Baltimore one day. And there was a pastor there. He was sitting over here. When I told the story, he held his hand up, so I got a question. I said, yes, sir. He said, where in the world do you get the boldness to make a statement like that? How can you possibly tell a man that God is killing his child because he's not doing what he's... He said, where do you get that boldness? Where do you think I get that boldness? From reading the Word. The Word of God. I'd read that story many times where David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then it says the Lord was so angry with him. And he says, the Lord has put away your sin, David. You will not die. Which means, what if God didn't put away your sin? And you're going to die. But I'm going to take the life of your child anyway. Now then, do we see children die at young ages today? Now then, if you got a mother or a father and they're not producing fruit for the kingdom of God and they got a sick boy, like the little boy we had here a while back that was 2 years old. Y'all remember that little guy? I showed you the pictures of the little guy that was 2 years old, that his kidneys had stopped functioning and his kidneys, the water was building up in his body. And when we found the sin, and this is what's so crazy, the sin between that couple was the sin of unforgiveness and bitterness over a cell phone. They got mad at each other over a cell phone, and it was killing their little son. He was 2.5 years old. He had 26 pounds of water in his kidneys, and the doctor said, in 3 weeks, he will be dead. There is nothing we can do. But we found the sin. We got that couple to repent for that sin of unforgiveness and bitterness. Then we laid hands on that little child and prayed one simple prayer. And within 1 hour, his kidneys started working. And within a few days, that little boy had let off 26 pounds of water. And he's okay now. Just think, what if we had not been in the Word? What if we didn't know that God does these kind of things? Well, if you don't know, you can't repent for something you don't know. And when you can't repent for something you don't know, then you have a problem. But another thing, one more time, when we go back to that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, it says clearly there that you, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a new creature. Is that what it said? How many old things passed away? All of those old things passed away. So now then you're a new creature. So if you're now a son or a daughter of God and you get in the Bible and you start reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible, if you're now a son of God and you start praying prayer, Lord, I'm your son and I need revelation on this book. I need wisdom. I need knowledge. I need understanding so I can take this book, so I can go do something for the kingdom of God. Lord, I want to produce fruit for the kingdom, but I want to have the truth that I know will set me free. I don't want just stuff. I want to know the truth, and I want it to be in my heart, and I want it to be accurate. I mean, you just don't realize how important it is to ask God to give you the right information. Like that young boy here a while back, when you think of it, I'm a son. If I'm a son, and my daddy is my daddy, God the Father, and Jesus Christ is my brother, if I need something, All I've got to do is ask. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Ask. Ask and believe. But this is where we get in trouble now. The church don't believe, because when we ask, somebody says, come back a few minutes later. Well, we prayed and we asked, do you think God's going to do what you... In fact, I'll tell you the story I was fixing to say. There was a young man. God spoke to me. I'm coming down the hallway in the ministry center. And the Lord spoke to me out loud and said, son, call Philip Wren. I said, okay, Lord. I have not seen Philip in years. Now, Philip's the young man I prayed for years ago that had warts and scars all over his body, and they all went away. All the warts, the scars, and everything went away. So I don't know what's going on here with Philip, but I know there must be something wrong. So, because the Lord told me, son, call Philip Wren. I said, okay. So I went in and I told the girls, I said, you know, look in the phone book or do a search for Philip Wren and see if you can find where he's at. I need to talk to him. I don't know what for, but God told me to call him. So anyway, they looked and they found three Philip Wrens, and they said, well, we found three. And actually had all three names, Philip Anthony Wren. All three of them was exactly the same. And I called one of them in California, and he said, I never heard of you. And I said, well, now you're not the right one. I called one in Chicago, and he said, I never heard of you. So I said, okay. So I tried one in New York City, and that's the three of them now, and none of them knew who I was. So I walked in, and I said, okay, Lord, I've tried. Now, see, I'm talking to him just like he's my dad.
Yeah.
See, I'm a new creature. And I know that, so I know I can talk to him just like he's dad, because he is dad. Jesus is my brother, you know. I mean, they're there to help me if I'll just do what I'm supposed to. So anyway, I said, Lord, I've done everything I could do. I know how to do to find Philip Anthony Wren. I found three of them, and they don't know me. I don't know where he's at. So I said, but Father, you know where he's at. So I said, Lord, you have Philip call me. Thank you, Lord. I tried. Now, see, he told me to do something. I did it. I did everything I could do, and then I said, okay, Lord, I can't find him. I've tried all these names, so you know where he's at. So, Father, in Jesus' name, you have Philip call me. Thank you, Lord, it's done. The next day, one of the girls comes and said, Pastor, you were looking for Philip Wren? He's on the line. So I went in there and I said, hey, Philip, what are you doing? I said, why'd you call me? He said, that's what's strange. I don't know. He said, I just felt compelled to call you. Now, can your daddy do anything?
Yeah.
Now then, here's the thing. Whenever you, a lot of times people will start to do something like that, and this is what one of the girls will tell me. Not now, used to. I'd say, okay, call Philip. I said, the Lord give me, I said, Lord, you have Philip call me. I said, okay, girls, it's done. And they said, but Pastor, what if he doesn't call? Hey, did God say in his word when I pray?
Believe.
James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want you to see, this is something that we don't really get a hold of. But if you don't believe the Bible like it's written, it won't work. James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says,
But let him ask in faith,
nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Okay, now then, if there's just a little teeny bit of doubt over in the corner of my heart, what am I going to get from God?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Mary. Surely he wouldn't be that hard on me.
He is.
That's what he said, isn't it?
Yes, it is, right?
Number, Tony, if God said it, do you think he means it, son?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he really means it, doesn't he?
All the time,
every time. And that's why that when, just like what we're talking about Tony there, when he got his arm hurt that time, when he prayed over that arm, I mean, they wanted to do surgery, all kinds of things. But he said, no, I'm going to trust God. So he prayed, and without any doubt in his heart, he continued to praise and worship and thank the Lord for fixing that shoulder. And it took about 3 months, but God totally fixed his shoulder. He ain't had no trouble with that thing since, have you, Tony? But see, he had to, you had to believe with how much doubt?
None.
If anybody says, how's your arm? He said, it's healed because we prayed. It's done. You got to believe that, right?
Amen.
If you don't believe. Now, this is something that's almost like when you say, you know, God will kill your child. Somebody said, no, 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 no. Or if you tell somebody, well, I'm gonna pray, but now we got to believe with no doubt in our heart. No. God, He's not that hard on you. He won't do that. He'll if it's His will, He'll heal you. If it's not, He won't.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, if you go in there with that attitude, I guarantee you ain't going to get nothing because there's no faith in what you're doing. But when you pray, you must
believe.
With how much doubt?
None.
Let me ask you a question. If I have to believe with no doubt in my heart, if I believe that God has healed me, then why did I just tell you that Thursday I got an appointment with the doctor and I'm fixing to go see the doctor? And when I get there, if the doctor tells me that my shoulder's healed, well, then I won't let them do the surgery. The best thing to do is just stay home, isn't it, Tony? That's the best thing to do, because if you go to the doctor, what's the doctor going to try to convince you of?
Surgery,
of course. You know, they're going to... That's just like this young woman. Well, she wasn't very young, but anyway. Her husband, he was an older guy, and he had a kidney problem, just like this boy we talked about there a while ago. This kidney problem that this child had was like this man. He had a kidney failure. And they had already called the doctor, and two doctors were on the way out to look at him. The doctors got there, but before the doctors got there, a man of faith showed up. They called him too. And the man of faith showed up, and whenever the woman says, "My husband's upstairs in the bedroom, and his kidneys, they're just killing him," so he goes up there and he prays over the man, lays hands on the man, and says, "It's done." In other words, he rebuked. He repented for his sins, remitted the man's sins, and then prayed a prayer of faith. And when he prayed the prayer of faith, now then the Lord says, when you pray, you've got to believe with
no doubt
in your heart. So they prayed. Now then they come down from upstairs, and they come down to the living room, and the lady says, "Sir, I want to thank you for coming and praying over my husband. Would you like a cup of hot tea before you leave?" And he said, "Sure, no problem. I'd love a cup of hot tea." So he's sitting there with her drinking a cup of hot tea, and in walks the two doctors. And they said, "Where's your husband?" "He's upstairs in the bedroom." They run upstairs and they check him, they do all the stuff. They come back down in a few minutes and say, "We got to take him to the hospital right now or he'll be dead by morning." Now then, she looked at the man of God and says, "What do I do?" He said, "Well, it's real simple. Do you want him to live or die?" She said, "Well, I want him to live." He said, "Then tell those men to go away." I prayed in faith God will heal him. If you tell me to go away and for them to, then he'll be dead by morning because they won't be able to save his life. You asked me to pray in faith. I prayed in faith. I believe. Now then we're going to find out what she believes. Is this difficult when it's your body?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is not easy, folks. Walking in faith, that's why so few people get healed. Because they cannot believe God. They don't believe God. I'm telling you, walking in faith, it's a product of the impossible. It's almost impossible to find people that can walk in faith. Almost impossible. But anyway, the doctors, they was crazy. They told her, said, "Ma'am, you've got to let us take him and do surgery on him tonight. His kidneys are failed, they're ruptured, and he will be dead by morning. He cannot live." She looked at the man of God again. He said, "If you want him to live, tell him to go home. If you want him to die, tell him to take him to the hospital." She said, "Sirs, doctors, I'm sorry. I'm going to believe the man of God." Now that takes a real woman, doesn't it? And so the doctors went away saying she was crazy. But they're drinking their hot tea, and about 30 minutes later, he's nearly through with that cup of hot tea, and all of a sudden, the man comes walking down the stairs, and he was totally, completely healed. If he had went with the doctors, he'd have died. But that man fully recovered.
Praise God.
Now, see, I've seen those kind of things, but all over the place. But you know how difficult it is for somebody to pray in faith believing? It's tough. It is tough. It's hard. It's not easy. And you just hardly, you hardly can find somebody today that when they pray, they say it is done. I'm going to tell you why that Cheryl and I have such great results on these prayer requests that come in on email. Because those people are writing to us via an email. We can't be there with them. We can't sit there and talk with them. So whenever they tell us what's wrong with them, the scripture clearly says, I can remit somebody's sin. In other words, I can forgive sin as a new creature in Christ. Is that right?
Yeah.
Does it really say that?
Sure does.
Somebody, can somebody tell me where that's found?
John 20:23.
Oh, wow. So that's how we find out what you know, John 20:23. Okay. Let's take John 20:23 in the NLT, and let's look at that, and I want you to see what it says you can do as a new creature in Christ. This is really something to look at. What does that say, hon? John 20:23.
Whosoever sins ye remit or forgive, they are remitted or forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Now let me tell you what. If you go outside the doors of this church, most churches, that you go outside of these walls and you start telling somebody, I'm a new creature. My old self is gone. He's dead. I'm a son or a daughter of God, and I can forgive sin. I can lay hands on my brother and I can forgive his sins. You know what they'll tell you? You are crazy. But according to the book, we ain't crazy. We can remit sin. Is that right, Kim?
That's absolutely right.
You've done that many times, haven't you?
Many times.
Cheryl and I, once we find out what their problem is, we will remit or forgive their sin. Then we will pray the prayer of faith, and then we will write on the bottom of the deal, guarantee it is done. Now, is that what I've got to do?
Yes.
I'd never say, if it persists, go to the doctor tomorrow. I am a man of faith, and I believe when I pray, God hears my prayer every time I pray, and he answers my prayer every time I pray. Don't you believe that, Mike?
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That if we don't believe. So Cheryl and I pray over these people. We remit their sins. And in fact, we had a lady here a while back, a really good one. She said, when I got to the bottom, I think her mother had had a stroke or something. She wanted us to pray for her to recover. And we did, and we said, it is done. Guarantee it is done. She went back and said, I looked at those promises you used, and I can see now how you can say guarantee it is done. So she said, if Thurman says he guarantees it's done and it's completed in the Word of God, Jesus made the same statements, or Thurman made the same statements Jesus did. If he guarantees it, she said, I'm going to hang on to that for Mom. Mom, you are healed. About a week later, she contacted us and said, Mother has fully recovered from that stroke. But where you miss it is when you say, I'm going to pray, and then they say, well, we'll see how I feel tomorrow. And if I don't feel any better, I'm going to the doctor. Well, now it's in you and the doctor's hands, because Jesus just told you he's pulling away. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
You need to not think you'll get anything from me. I mean, would you really think that God would be that hard on you? Would he? He will. Why is God so hard on us? Because he's building us to be a team of overcomers. And he don't want a bunch of wimps. He wants overcomers. He wants people that will stand and fight the battle of faith. I was just thinking it when I was thinking about what they've done with our military and how they've put women in there in the front lines. I thought to myself, I got a couple sitting right here that I love them dearly. But if I got to go to war, I'd rather have Tony backing me up instead of Mary. Isn't that crazy? But we've done that. We've done that. And women is not supposed to be called into war. I'd much rather have Tony flying along beside me, backing me up as a fighter pilot than I had Mary. That's just the way it is. But it's crazy. What we've done in America is absolutely crazy. But if you're a son or a daughter of God, this is where you got to know who I am. I am a daughter. I am a son of God. I can forgive sin. I can pray the prayer of faith. And when I pray, God hears my prayer every time. And every prayer, every promise he made to me, every one of them are yes and amen every time.
Amen.
And if you believe that and you stand on that, it doesn't make any difference what happens to you. You can pray and you can stand on God's word. And if you will stand on his word, I guarantee if you stand in total faith, you will get your answer.
Amen.
He will call you. He will let you know. And he will do things beyond your wildest dreams. But faith, walking in faith, is very, very difficult. But you can do it. I don't know. I'm not telling that story because it's not fulfilled yet. He's not out of the hospital, so I don't know. I can't tell that story because these others, the little boy that had the 26 pounds of water on his kidneys, I can tell you that story knowing that's true, because that boy, he has fully recovered. I even went to Baltimore after that, and him and his mom and dad were at Baltimore. I saw that little kid run up and down the aisles totally well. I know he was healed. You know, so there's no two. But I don't know if I tell you a story about somebody that has not fully manifested yet, I can't be sure where we're all at. You know, I mean, just like in the mother and the dad's case up there in Pennsylvania, what if one of them decided to not believe? The kid would have died. But they both repented, and they both decided to believe God with no doubt in their heart, and the little boy was completely healed. And that's a done deal. You know, that's just like Jenna out here when he's looking at Jenna. Now then, usually if you take God's promises and you pray over somebody for a year and a half, most people give up, don't they?
They do.
You know, but if you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing happens, the minute you, in fact, you may only be seconds away from your miracle, but you gave up. When you gave up, you lost it. If you know God's promises are yes and amen, you know that. And you've heard that. You know where that's found. If you know that God's promises are yes and amen, why would you ever give up? Why? But we do. But I'm not giving up. I'm healed. Praise God. You know. I mean, I was talking to Jerry a while ago. I told him, I said, the Lord renews my youth like the eagles.
Amen.
So I said, I'm getting younger all the time instead of older. He told me, he said, Thurman, we could get some black dye and put on your hair and you could be Elvis Presley. Oh, I thought, Jerry, he's my buddy. Oh, goodness. Yeah, just give me some black hair, black dye and put on my hair and call me Elvis Presley. Oh, goodness gracious alive. Let me tell you, that's kind of sad when you stop and think of what that man had. And all of his life and all the things he had and all the money he had and everything else. Even back in those days, he had his own 707. I mean, he had his own jet airplane, and almost nobody had that back in the 50s. That just something that didn't happen. But Elvis Presley had his own airplane. But he died a young man. He died a young man. And I think about, you know, how many people. Maybe, I mean, when you look at his book of works on earth, I mean, he had a big book. He had big followings. You know, please lots of people. He sings songs and you know, you ain't nothing but a hound dog, you know, and all that stuff. But there was people that followed him, that loved him. He had a following out of this world. But at 42 years of age, he died. At 42, he died. And when he went into the kingdom, he might have done a little for the kingdom. I hope he went into the kingdom. I mean, I don't know that. You can't always tell. Because, in fact, I asked the Lord one day. I'd been out to Cross Plains, Texas, actually Abilene, Texas, to a family reunion. And I got Church of Christ, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostals. I mean, I had 100 and 150 folks there that day, all of us family. And there's every kind of denomination known to man. And then some of us are, you know, whatever. When I think about all those people, and of course, when you go to a family reunion and all you talk about is eating and Jesus. I mean, we loved each other. I mean, we had no knockdown dragouts. We loved each other. If we were Baptist or Pentecostal or Methodist or whatever, we still loved each other. Now, is that what God told us to do? Yes, we love each other. But some of them had questions about, you know, that, well, if you're not a hard shell Church of Christ, you know, get dunked right here, you can't go to heaven. You know, we all got some strange beliefs, crazy stuff. But anyway, on the way back home from Abilene, I'm by myself, driving along there in the car, and I said, Lord, so many of my relatives got all these strange beliefs. I said, Lord, there's got to be a scripture somewhere in your Bible. It's got to be a word somewhere that'll tell me who's lost and who's saved. How can I really, literally tell, guaranteed, who's going to go to heaven, who ain't going to go to heaven? I know you got it in there somewhere. I just hadn't found it. So, Lord, thank you. I need that verse in Jesus' name. So I'd drive along there for a mile or two or three. Then I'd say, okay, Lord, I hadn't heard anything yet, so I still got to know. And so every 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, I'd say, Lord, I got to know where this verse is. How am I going to tell if somebody's lost or saved? I've got to know where that verse is. Thank you, Lord. Now, it's 3 hours from Abilene to here. Just before I got home, he spoke to me. He said, son, the answer to your question is in Acts 10:42. So I turned to Acts 10:42. Let's see what that says. Cheryl's going to read that to you. Acts 10:42. What does that say, hon?
And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead.
Okay. Now then, did you get your answer out of that? Do you understand what he's trying to tell me? I didn't get it. I mean, I read that, I quoted that, I looked at that, and I said, okay, God, I know that you've got to be right, but I don't get it. I'm asking who's going to heaven. I'm asking how can I tell who's lost and who's saved? This don't make no sense to me. So for 3 months, in agony, everywhere I go, okay, God, you spoke to me the other day, you told me Acts 10:42, but it doesn't tell me who's going to be lost and who's going to be saved. I've still got to know who's going to be lost and who's going to be saved. I want to be able to know when I go out there and say, okay, because he's a hard-shelled Baptist, he ain't going to heaven. You know, I want to be able to know that, Lord. And finally, the Lord said, son, read that very closely one more time, and I'm going to open your understanding to that verse. So I read it. It has been, he said, you preach the gospel. So what is my job?
Preach it.
Preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Is that right?
Amen.
There ain't no other way. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for your sins. Father raised him from the dead after 3 days. And all you got to do is believe that and you become a new creature. Is that right? You become a new creature. He said, son, you read that. And I read that and he said, you preach the good news and it has been ordained by the Father in heaven that I, Jesus Christ, will be the judge of both the lost and the saved. And he said, son, knowing who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven is not your job. I only ask you to teach the word. One day when they stand in my presence, I'll be there. I'll be there too, won't you, brother? When I stand there and he reaches up and puts his hand on my shoulder and says, "Well done, son." That's what's going to make it all worthwhile. Wow. Now, you don't want to be one of those guys, as he says. You know what that means, right? Into outer door. I never knew you. You didn't do anything for me. You didn't do nothing for me. I called you and called you. I told you to go do this or go do that. You always had something else you wanted to do. You never had time for me. But because you didn't do anything for me, because you did not make me your Lord and Master, away from me into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Does that sound good? Especially when all you got to do is say, "Lord, I repent. I repent, Lord. I'm coming into the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for saving me." That's all you got to do. And then if you don't know how to get that done, and they won't do it because the god of this world is blinding their mind, you can get a copy of this book back here, or these CDs or DVDs back here, How to Get a Lost Person Saved.
Amen.
Is that right, Mary? I mean, Jackie?
Right.
If you got that, you can get anybody saved.
That's what I did this morning, all the way to India.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. It went all the way around the world.
Amen. Absolutely right. Just think, with the emails that we got, Cheryl can lay there in bed and pray that prayer like that, and when she hits that thing goes all the way around the world to India.
Yep.
And we get people saved, healed, and delivered just from laying there in the bed. Boy, you can't suffer for Jesus no better than that. I mean, that's really suffering for Jesus. I can just see some of the old-timers now that they're going to be able to look back and see me and Cheryl laying there in the bed praying for all these people, and they say, "You bunch of wimps." Yeah, I mean, after all, me and Grandma, we left Tennessee, and it took us 3 years to get to Cross Plains, Texas, and we had two babies en route. That really happened. That was a true story. My great-great-great-grandmother and granddad left Tennessee and drove the wagon team up north before they could get across the Mississippi. They come across, and they come down, and they come all the way to Cross Plains, Texas, and it took them 3 years, 3 years to make that trip, and they had two children en route. In that 3 years, she bore two babies. And some of the girls out here that had children said, "Oh, my God, I feel for that woman. Oh, Lord, poor girl." But, you know, if you don't know any different, you know, I mean, pain's pain, right? I mean, really. I'm just thinking, we are a bunch of wimps. You know that? Just think, we could really, I mean, as easy as we got it. I mean, just like when Cheryl and I went to that restaurant. I know God sent us right there, and I know He sent that little girl to our table for a special purpose. He wants to save that little girl. But I think, how many people have we done that to? How many young boys and girls have we led to Christ in a hotel? Or have we got healed? Back problem especially. All these things is all there for you to do something. All you got to do is be about His business. And today, we got nice cars to drive. We got nice houses to live in, some of us. Thank God, I'm so grateful. When I lay down in my bed, me and Cheryl still got a nice bed, you know, and it's soft and warm and air, or cool or whatever. But the poor folks down toward Houston and Miami and all down in there, I mean, they are in sad shape. You know, and in fact, I talked to Jeff this last Friday, I guess it was, and he had been down there with Jack Butler, and he talks about the devastation in the yards, you know, houses, you know, that are destroyed, and kitchens and cabinets and furniture and everything, a million automobiles that went underwater. And then this morning when I was watching a little news down in Puerto Rico, there is antennas on top of people's houses that are underwater. You can barely see the antenna. And the guy said there's a house 15 feet tall underneath that water right there. The house is 15 foot deep in water. So only thing left is the TV antenna sticking up out there. And then, of course, the dam broke in the lake down there in Puerto Rico. I mean, everything's flooded. Had to move 70,000 people out of the flood zone. Wow. You reckon God might be a little bit upset? Now then, let's put it this way. When you accepted Jesus and you became that new creature, he says he made peace with you. Do you like that?
Yes.
Now he made peace with you. So when you need something for him, you can just make sure that you're walking in obedience to his word. And you come up to dad and say, Dad, I got to have this or that. I need some help. And he says, what are you doing for me? He said, well, I'm helping these people down here. Okay, no problem. He'll give it to you. You know, if you're going to use it for his glory, he'll give it to you. Whatever you need, he will give it to you because he has made peace with you through the blood of his son, as long as you know that you're a new creature in Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be a new creature? And to think under the new covenant, the number of ways he said that we could get people healed. I mean, there's so many. If you've never come to a healing school, you need to come to one of our healing schools. So we have one second Saturday of every month where we teach you all these principles that we've learned. And when you repent of those sins and put these principles to work in your life, where he says, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. Speak to the body and, you know, whatever you say with your mouth, believe it with your heart, it'll happen. When you believe that, when you get to where you can believe that, you'll see it work. If you don't believe it, it won't work. If you trust anybody besides God, it won't work. Isn't that something? When you pray, you must pray in faith with no doubt. Because if you doubt or you waver at all, any bout, I'm not going to do nothing for you. Is that what he said, Gracie? You really think God would be that hard on you? Yes, he would. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing now on this earth. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you said that all these things were going to happen with an increase in frequency, and as they do, look up, our redemption's drawing near. So I know your return is much closer today than it was just a year ago. And this next year may be the year, or still may be this year yet. We may be off on our calendar a little or something, Lord. We don't know. But one thing you said, be ready when you come again. So, Lord, I want you to know I'm ready. You come again today or tomorrow or next month or next year, I'm ready, Lord. But Lord, between now and then, I want you to help me and everybody in this church to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I want us to be fruit-bearing people that's doing something for Jesus because he's worthy of our work. We don't have to work to get saved. All we got to do is believe. Believe we get saved, but the works will add to our folder about the book of works. Lord, we want that book of works to be big and heavy. We want to be lots of souls and lots of healings and lots of deliverances and lots of good things happen because we were sons and daughters of God. And I thank you and praise you for doing it, Lord. Yes, show men and women what to do with this hurricane relief. Lord, guide everybody that gives money and resources to help them. Lord, we got to have your help, Lord. Without your help, we can't do this. But with your help, there ain't nothing impossible. So I thank you and praise you, Lord, for blessing all of us, using us this week for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.